and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. The final section of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 24, tells us how to walk in victory. I don't know about you, but I sure want to have some victory, amen. I want to walk in victory. When I was in high school, played football, and I sure liked to ride home in those buses after we won that football game. I didn't like riding home in those buses when we didn't win. And I didn't like early morning practice nor early afternoon practice if we didn't win. Those were not happy days, amen. And I like that victory. I like to win. When I go fishing, I like to catch fish. When I go hunting, I like to bring home something, amen. I had a friend of mine, Brother Jim Holloman. We were out fishing one day. He said, "I don't care if I catch anything." He said, "I just go out here to get out of the house." And I said, "Not me, buddy. I come here to catch something fish. So get to working and catch something, amen." But I don't know. But I like to have something. I like to catch. I want to take you to note verse 16. Would you please? Chapter 6 and verse 16. I want you to notice those first two words there. What do those first two words say? Above all. Now, with my keen, intellectual, computer-like mind, when I looked at the word above all, I think what? That must be the most important thing, right? And it is. Paul the Apostle was writing to the church at Corinth, and the church at Ephesus, and he said, "Now listen, this is what's going on, okay?" He said, "I want you to know that you're going to be in a battle. All of us are going to be in a battle, whether we like it or not. All of us had a battle this week or last week. Every one of us. It may be health. It may be finance. It may be girlfriend, boyfriend. It may be husband and wife. It may be a boss, maybe employer. You had something that you had to deal with last week. And it's sometimes difficult things. Somebody may not appreciated you, or somebody then took something you said and turned it around, and that's not what you meant, and that's not what you said, but they took it that way, and all of a sudden you have to backpedal, and you have to sit down with them and explain to them what happened. Or maybe there's somebody that you try to explain, they want nothing to hear about it. They just shut you off and said, "Well, that's the way you feel about it, I'm out of here, I'm gone." And, of course, that's critical in our hearts and our lives, because we want to live like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we're to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. As Christ has forgiven us, as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake, that we would forgive others. And that's very hard on us. That's very difficult for us. Some of us may have a problem with one of our family members, and they've kind of cut us off, and they don't want to have nothing to do with us. And it breaks our heart, and it just really... Boy, I tell you what, it causes a firestorm in our hearts and our lives. And when we lay down at night, we think of that. And when we get up in the morning, we think of it. When we're trying to get to sleep, that stupid thing goes around in my mind. Well, how could I have done this different? And I've done this. Am I talking to anybody that would agree with me that life is very difficult sometimes? Life is not a... shiny sea that's no waves. Life has a lot of crashing waves coming on us. Many Christians are walking around in a daze today. Their Christian life does not glorify the Father in heaven, nor the Christ that they claim to serve. Their testimony is a shamble. Their family is a mess. Their marriage is failing. It's sad because God gives us, listen to me now, God gives us the equipment and the ammunition that we need to live in a world that is in disarray. And if you don't think that our world is in disarray, you got your head in the sand. This world that we live in today is crazy. It's violent. It's terrorized. And this is not the kind of country that we used to remember, that we grew up in. Some of our millennials, this is our new word for the kids that are running around today, the new millennials. They have no idea what you and I went through, and some of us were born, we were the baby boomers that came out of that war, World War II, the Great War, and we when we're growing up, remember that people took their hat off to the pastor that walked by, and they took their hat off to the ladies, and they stood when ladies came into the room, and they opened the doors, and there was thank you, and yes sir, and no sir, and yes ma'am, and no ma'am, and thank you, and that you didn't have to, and on and on. So, you remember that. But there's a lot of our millennials that have no idea what in the world's going on in this world. They are confused. It used to be that daddy went to work and mama stayed home, took care of the family, took care of the house. But today our economy almost demands that both have to work just to take care of things. You said, I don't like it. Well, whether you like it or not, it's upon us. And you do what you can, do what your best you can, and you do what God tells you to do, and it's your responsibility to take care of your wife and your husband. It's your responsibility to take care of your family. It's not your responsibility to worry about my family. It's your responsibility to take care of your family. Hallelujah. Amen. It's our responsibility. Now, of course, being a pastor, it's my responsibility. I look after you too, like the Bible says, the shepherd looked after the sheep. It's my responsibility to make sure that I treat you and train you and encourage you to do right and stand before a holy God someday and say, Lord, this is what I did because of this is what it said in the Bible, how I should live. I want to pose to you a question this morning. If our loving Heavenly Father, who is called truth, said that we are to live godly in a godless world, would he tell us to do that if we could not? Would he tell us to live godly in a godless world if we couldn't do it? No, he wouldn't do that. His name is truth. The problem that we face in this life is that many believers do not know the provision that God has made to each one of us to have victory over Satan and the imps of hell. Christ completely overcame Satan and his hosts. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcised in your flesh, hath quickened together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He's talking about our sins. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He said, Jesus Christ did it. And not only did he do it, but he took our sins and nailed them on the cross and said, hey, that's it. I love the scriptures. Every morning, practically every morning as I pray, I say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking my sins and casting them in the deepest sea, never to remember again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, taking my sins and casting them from the east is from the west. Thank God for that. Amen? We can live a victorious life. My sins are forgiven. You say, but Pastor, I keep sinning. Yes. And you're supposed to go back to God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, when you do it, you realize you sin. If you're a saved person this morning, you know you're wrong. You know you've sinned. You know you're getting against the principles of the Word of God. Hey, when you know it, say, God, forgive me. And what does he say he'll do? Cast in the deep sea. That's why we as Christians, we don't have that accumulation of sin upon us that drags us down and drags us down. Years ago, D.L. Moody was preaching at this great evangelistic meeting. And they used this great building they had, and he was up way up on top of the stage. And that night, he had a great big backpack put on him. And he had great big old shoes and a very big old coat, and he could hardly walk. And when he got out of the chair, he could hardly get up, and he just kept going like this and walked up to the pulpit, and he said, man, I can't hardly stand it, all this weight upon me. And then he used the illustration. He started taking some weight off and weight off and weight off and took the jacket off and took them great big old boots off. And he said, you know, Christian friend, he said, that's what a lot of you Christians are. You have the Satan has pushed you down and he tries to hold you under with all the sins that you've committed. But Jesus says, hey, I've nailed it to the cross. I have forgiven you. I have cast it in the deepest sea, never to remember it again. You are free from that sin. He took it all off. He ran around the stage a couple of times and said, man, it sure is good to get rid of that stuff. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand the things I've done in my life. My dear, dear brother and sister in Christ, I don't have to understand what you did in your life. I understand one thing that Jesus says, go to Him, all of you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All you that are weary, aren't you weary of carrying around that junk? God says, put it away. I've taken care of it. I nailed it on the cross. I've taken care of it. You say, but Pastor, when I was a teenager, God has forgiven you that. Get on with life, amen. Forget about it. Take that coat off. You said that, preacher, when I was married and my wife and I had some problems and I sinned and now I'm divorced. Hey, get over it. God said, I've forgiven you. Now get on with it. Take those old heavy boots off and say, bless God. Kick your heel, jump up and down, twinkle your eyes and say, man, I have been forgiven. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that want to keep you down. There's a lot of mean people out there that want to keep you to remember the things that you used to do. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a great God in heaven that says, I have forgiven you. You say, but Pastor, does that mean? No. Romans says, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, you don't want to. You don't go sin and do those things anymore. You've learned your lesson. Amen. Get on with it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. If you turn your Bible, look at that. Ephesians 1, 19. By the way, if you come to this church, I want you to have your Bible. I want you to look in your Bible. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? There's a question. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. He says, hey, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward? According to the working of the mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in the world but those also which are to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He's saying, let me tell you something. What did God give us? He gave us freedom from sin. Are we going to sin? Yeah. Hey, I tell the Lord practically every morning when I'm praying, I said, Lord, it just seems like I'm one of your chiefest of sinners. I just can't quit sinning. I'm sick and tired of it. My thought life, my actions, just let somebody pull out in front of me, drive my car. I lose it right there. Well, what a great way to start the day. You know where Maple Gardens is? That's where I come out and get on Highway 87. And I take a ride. There are so many stupid people. Get over in the left so I can get on with life. There's nobody in the other lane. Get over. You idiot Air Force people. You come off there. You always stand. Get on the other side. I know who you are. You got little stickers. Just get over so I can get it. Hey, listen, I just want to get out. And every morning, about half a block after I finally get on there, I have to, oh, God, I'm sorry. Don't let me start my day like this. So I stand. I always thought about maybe putting a paintball machine right in front of my cars. I just push a button, shoot cars with it. I think that's a good idea. Hey, stupid. Yeah, you're looking at me and say, I can't believe you do that, preacher. You cotton pickers, you do the same thing. driving a truck down the road, somebody pulls in front of you. Why did you pull in front of me? Stay out of my way. You know, I can't stop this on a dime. Amen, brother. Yeah, now I'm talking your language, trucker. Listen, Christians, his victory, don't miss this, write it down. His victory is our victory by faith. Jesus Christ's victory on the cross became our victory. For he takes away my sins and casts them in the deepest sea, casts the fire east and west, never to remember them again. His victory is my victory. Aren't you glad about that? Well, there's some things that this old brain of ours really can turn us wacky, can't it? Well, we can think things. We can think the people thinking with what we're thinking, and we're not thinking what they're thinking, and we know that they're thinking what we're thinking. And this old brain of ours is like a bumblebee's nest. Somebody just rocked, amen. You know, threw a rock in that bumblebee's nest. Hornet's nest. Crazy. The most important thing in life is not things. It's him. God said, I made man in my image and in my likeness. But mankind sinned in the Garden of Eden and took his likeness away from us. But Jesus Christ died on the cross and forgave us of our sins. If we invite him to come into our hearts and to be our Savior, he promises that he'll live within us. He promises to help us. Now, there's some people that don't want to live like him. They just, if I'm miserable, you're going to be miserable. If I'm having trouble, you're going to have trouble. First of all, I want you to know the enemy that we fight. There's a true enemy out there that we fight as a Christian. Satan is a strong enemy, and so Paul exhorts us to be strong. Paul knows that the flesh is weak. I don't know about you, but boy, I certainly know my flesh is weak. And he knows that Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Well, there's a lot of things I want to do. Boy, I've got an idea. I'm going to do it. I've got this goal set down. I'm going to do it, but I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to have somebody help me do it. I have to have somebody to lift with me. I have to have somebody to push with me. I have to have somebody to drag with me. I have to have someone that would get me through this stage of my life. That I can't think of anybody better than the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me, died on the cross, shed his blood so that I would be free. We have an enemy, and he's strong. Scripture tells us, though, that we can overcome him, but only, and here's the deal, but only through God's power, only through the Lord Jesus Christ's power. You cannot overthrow the devil. You read over in Ezekiel, read in Daniel. Daniel tells about Michael, the archangel. And Daniel's praying and begging God to come and help him. And a month later, Michael shows up and he says, I would have been here sooner, but I was in the battle. And the Bible said that Michael would not use any railing accusation against Satan. In other words, he said, I'm not going to tick Satan off, because I know that he is a strong, strong, strong enemy. I hear people say, bring on, Satan! And I'm saying, you are stupid. You are really dumb. I fear Satan. I fear what he can do to me. But I also fear my heavenly Father God, who said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And I can trust God to look after my well-being. I can trust God to look after what I need and what I can go through. I can trust Him to do that. You can't trust Satan. Satan will take everything in. That's why when Satan came before God and said, and God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Could Job trust God? Absolutely. Could he trust Satan? Absolutely not. And Job said, the only reason he trusts you, God, is because you put a fiery hedge around him. You have given him wealth and you've given him family. He said, you take all that away and I'll promise you he'll curse you. And all of us, when we read that, we're hoping that God doesn't say, hey, do you know my servant Sheldon? We hope he doesn't do that. Do you know my servant Rick? Do you know my servant John? I'm really glad that God does not use our name up there. Yeah. What was the outcome of that? Job lost everything he had. Job lost his family. And the Bible said that Satan came again and said, and God said, hey, what do you think of that? He said, yeah, you take his health away and he'll curse you. And God said, you can take his health, but you can't take his life. See, that's why we have to trust God completely. This world does not circle around me, nor does it circle around you. You aren't the middle of this universe. God is. And God uses us. And God used Job in a great way to prove that there are some people in this world who are willing to say, hey, I will not curse God. I will not say anything against my God. Even though the things are happening, even the things are falling in front of us, even though our family members dislike us now and for no reason at all, even though we've lost all our property and we've lost all... I heard of a fellow the other day. He was a multi-millionaire 3 years ago, and I became friends of him, and he did some things, pretty interesting stuff, and all of a sudden they're living in Parkdale. He lost everything he had. Still alive though, isn't he? Still got his wife. But he lost everything he had. Multi-millionaire. Well spoken of and well respected in his community. Now he has nothing. And lucky that he had enough just to eat. Whereas he used to have everything. The Bible said that Job had boils from the bottom of his feet to his head. Here's the worst thing all about it, and I believe it's the worst. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? You know, hey, Brother Rick, you and I can get through a lot of things as long as we got our wife that puts her arm around us and said, hey, we're going to make it. It's going to be okay. Hey, by the way, don't you cuss Job's wife. She lost 9 children. She lost the house that she lived in. She lost the health of a man who loved her to death. You know, sometimes we say things that we wish we wouldn't have said. Unfortunately, God records it all. Sometimes things that we say just, oh, they just about ready to bust out of us, it's best not to say it. Because you may turn to change your mind. Someone said, whatever happened to Job's wife? Well, God punished her by giving her 9 more children. That's 90 months of pregnancy. And childbirth. You know, there's some things that I say I wish I'd never said. In the heat of the discussion, in the heat of the battle, in heat, we say some things, and boy, you know, one thing I found about things you say, you cannot. And one man said, you better say sweet things because you may have to eat them things. Don't burn your bridges. Paul writes to the church at the Philippi, and he said, listen to me. God says we can do it. We can live a godly life in a godless society. And if he says that we can live it, we can do it. Paul knows that the flesh is very weak. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the Spirit truly is ready. Boy, there's a lot of things, boy, I want to do, but I find out I'm weak. Scripture tells us that we can overcome, but we can only overcome by God's power. This is an interesting observation. Before Paul tells us to stand in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, in verse 10 he tells us to do what? You see it there? To be what? Strong. So the question is, how do I receive the strength to stand? Here it is, by realizing that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, far above all Satan's principalities and powers. To be strong. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. What does Satan want us to do? Not have faith. If something happens in my life and I see things are happening, all of a sudden the storm clouds are all over and the thunder and the lightning and the wind is blowing, the rain is coming, or the storms of snow and the drifts are blowing all over, and man, you know which way to go? Hey! God says, have faith. That's Christianity. By faith, we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. By faith, we trust Him to know the best for my life and your life. By faith, we believe that Jesus Christ will not let anything happen to us we cannot withstand or provide a way of an escape. And when it comes to providing a way of escape and it seems like all is lost, He says, casting all your cares upon me, on Him, because He careth for you. He said, but Pastor, you just don't understand. I know. I'm mortal. But I have a God who understands. I have a God that when I go to Him, He doesn't go tell my neighbor, and doesn't go tell my friend all my business. I have a Father in heaven that I can come and pray to Him, and sometimes I can't even pray. My brain is so fumbled up, I can't even think. He says that God's Son, Jesus Christ, will pray for me. The Holy Spirit will pray. There's sometimes in you little mama's lives, that you got all those little tricycle motors running around your house, ankle biters, those little kids, and you've taken 4 hours to clean that mess up that only took them 5 seconds to make. And you don't know which way to turn. You've got daddy coming home. You just got a bill that you didn't even know you had a bill. And all of a sudden, you're going to confront your husband about this. And you say, honey, what is this? That's when you go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. Pray for me. Pray for me, Lord. I, I don't know which way to say. I don't know which way to turn. But I do know one thing. That you love me. And you didn't allow this thing to happen in our home, in our family, in our life, without you knowing about it. This does not surprise you. That's where the faith comes in. Faith gives us hope. Faith says, I'm going to get through another day. I went to a training the other day on youth and suicide. And they went through a whole bunch of scenarios and things about it. And one of the professors says, if we can have just one person to care about that one teenager, he can make it. Just one person. One person that says, hey, doesn't look like you're doing very good. How you doing? Are you thinking about suicide? I said, are you thinking about suicide? Talk to me. I love you. Do you have a plan? One professor said, I have dealt with so many of these. She said, I've never lost one yet. She said, I've gotten in trouble with parents because I've called the authorities because they had a weapon to take care of it. And he said, I have had a lot of people mad at me. But he said, I haven't lost one yet. Oh, by the way, if you'd like to know something very distraught, is the third killer of teenagers in America, suicide. The number one killer, Montana's number one in suicide. We have never got below five. We've always been at the top. So it is good we confront not only teenagers but adults and say, hey, we see something going on, we talk to them about it. We care for them. All that takes is one person to care. By the way, I care. I care for your heart. I care that you would not go to hell. Let me ask you this. Are you going to heaven? Has there been a time in your life you invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Let me ask you that again. Are you sure if you died right now, would you go to heaven? Now, are you positive? Are you sure about it? I pray to God that you would be. And God loves you so much. All He says, just call upon me. All ye that are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thought that God would save us from our sins. Troubles and heartaches? Yep. Satan trying to destroy us? Yep. World against us? Yep. But if you got Jesus, you got everything. If you got Jesus in your heart, you're never alone. You never are alone. You say, but Pastor, I'm a widow. Pastor, I'm not married. Pastor, I live alone. Hey, you're not alone. If you got Jesus in your heart, you'll never walk alone again. So if you're here today without Christ, I beg that you would ask Jesus to be your Savior. I beg you to trust Him and say He'll help you in the craziest time of life. And when things, you have no idea which way to go or where to turn, He said, hey, I'm there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never take you through anything you cannot withstand or provide you a way of escape. I want you to lay your burdens and your heartaches at me. And by faith, you just trust me in this thing. See, the difference between when you think the world's all about you got some problems. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't think that you're the number one in this world. They don't think that you have the corner on rye. They don't think that you're the most important thing in this universe. They think they are. And they're jealous because you're in their way. And they're going to do anything they can to destroy you so that they look pretty. Am I telling you the truth? But when you realize that God is the center of this universe, and that your life, along with all the rest of the life in this world, has to do with Him, or has to do against Him, and all of a sudden we realize, we put things in perspective and say, you know what? This, what I'm going through right now, it's kind of like, got on an airplane one time, and this guy was really nervous next to me, and I said, hey, how you doing? He said, not well. I said, why? He says, man, he says, I'm afraid this airplane's going to go down. I said, why do you think that? Oh, he said, yeah, I've never flown on a plane before. And I'm going, oh, boy. And so he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. And he goes, oh. And funniest thing, he said, praise the Lord. I said, why is that? He says, hey, God wouldn't let this airplane go down because the preacher's on board. And I thought, I'm going to have some fun here. And I said, well, it may not be my time, but what if it's your time and we both have to? And I shouldn't have done that. But I want to have a chance to win that guy to the Lord, amen? That's all I said. Hey, you know, if you died today, what would you hear? If you died today, would you go to heaven? I'm not sure, Reverend. I said, let me show you my Bible. I just happened to have one with me. I showed that guy how he could be saved. He had a nice light. Yeah, had a nice light. I was on another flight. I was sitting pretty close to the front, and I was talking to a man about the Lord, and he prayed and asked Jesus in his heart. When I was getting up, getting off, this man handed me an envelope, and I put it in my pocket and walked up. It was a $5 bill. He says, I wish I could do what you just did. Keep doing that. He was sitting behind me, heard me tell him about Jesus. Amen. Hey, you know what? It's real serious, this thing about Jesus. There's a real serious, but there's a lot of trouble out here. Let me ask you this question without embarrassing you. How many of you have had trouble last week? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my goodness. I have a lot of liars out here that didn't raise their hand. Amen. The other ones, I need you to come down here and get to right. Amen. We all have troubles. Yeah. Troubles and sorrows, the Bible says. But let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven that knows your troubles and knows your sorrows and allowed you to go through them so that you will be strengthened and be better for the next chance that you'll have to tell somebody about Jesus. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to have the Word of God in our hearts and our lives and realize that there are troubles out there and there are things that are pretty interesting. Things that are very difficult for us. We don't know which way to turn. We've never been down this road before. But we do know one thing. You have. And you have an aerial view of what's going on in our lives. And you know the pitfalls and the problems are going to come and you are going to be there for us. That's faith. Dear God, I pray today if there's anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today they would invite you to be their Savior. As they're bowed, eyes are closed, you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. It really bothers me. I've been thinking about it lately. And, well, what happens if something did happen to me? Which is very possible. Would you today come to the God Almighty and ask Him to forgive your sins and come into your heart? Tell Him that you believe that He died on the cross and rose on the third day. And you're claiming His promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I pray you'd be with us today. Help us, Lord Jesus, that we would reach out to those that are in difficulty today. Reach out for those who are having heartaches and sorrows and don't know which way to turn. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they would invite you to be their Savior. in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask everyone to stand on your feet. Everyone standing, you're here today. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I have a home in heaven. Something happened to me today. I don't know if I go to heaven. I don't know if I go to hell. But I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, preacher, today I want Jesus to be my Savior. I can't wait another minute. I've just got to do it. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from God's Word. Hey, I'm not here to make a Baptist out of here. I'm here to make sure that you know for sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven and meet Jesus. Most important thing in your life, the important question you'll ever ask yourself, am I saved? Am I on my way to heaven? Say, preacher, I'm not sure. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. You come right now. Let me show you. This is called the invitation. I'm inviting you to come to Jesus Christ today. Let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. Why don't you come? You're here today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you come and do what God tells you to do? They that gladly received His Word were baptized the same day. Why don't you do what the Bible says? You're here today and say, preacher, I've been saved. Well, my life, there's some things in my heart, my life just not doing well. Why don't you come?